We're opening our Bibles again today to Matthew chapter 5, continuing our series in the Beatitudes. I'm just going to read them again to us now. Now when he saw the crowd, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Today we've got to our next beatitude, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And before I start today, I want to sort of just put a phrase in your mind to help you. If you don't remember anything else, remember this phrase. It might help you understand what we mean by this beatitude today. Stan Lee is famous for writing lots of comic books. Some of you already picked up your ears. Stan Lee. And one of his most famous comic books is Spider-Man. And in the Spider-Man comics, Spider-Man is renowned for saying, "With great power comes great responsibility." With great power comes great responsibility. And if you research that phrase, it's attributed to Stan Lee in Spider-Man. It's attributed to many other people as to where it first came from. But really, we can go to Luke's Gospel, where we find it really probably in its original incarnation, in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, where Jesus says, "For everyone who has much, much is required." Whoever has much, much is required. So, in the Beatitude series that we're looking at, sort of I've been looking at this ladder, this idea of actually each beatitude is like a rung on a ladder, getting closer to the attitude of the kingdom of heaven. The first one we talked about is "Blessed are the poor in spirit," i.e. those who understand who God is and our utter dependency and need for God. You could say actually the first beatitude is saying, how do we understand who God is? Do we have that fear of the Lord that Proverbs says is the beginning of all wisdom and all knowledge? Last week's beatitude can be summed up really with the understanding of saying, what is our condition? Bless those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What's our condition? Our condition of sin in our life, in the world around us, and our need for Jesus and Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Our need to put our trust and faith in him so that we can receive the inheritance that comes with the being a person of mourning, recognizing our condition, which is that of the comfort of God. And actually, the Bible says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the Comforter, the one who is given to us to be just like Jesus in our life, walking with us in everything that we do. The Bible also says that the Holy Spirit is like a seal of our salvation. It marks out saying we are God's people. That's the comfort that we can live in. Recognizing that we are sinners, recognizing the sin of the world, we can know that we are comforted by the fact that we, as people who have put our faith and trust in Jesus, are marked out, are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit to say we are God's children and we are people who will inherit the earth. We are people who are going to inherit the kingdom of God. But today's beatitude, "Blessed are the meek." This is the first beatitude that really affects how other people see us, how other people view our life. The first one's about God. The second one's about us and how we see the world around us. This one is about how maybe other people might see us, being open to the views of other people onto our life. Not just God's, but how other people might see us. Blessed are the meek. It says that the meek will inherit the earth. And that phrase, that the meek will inherit the earth, is a phrase that is used quite a lot in the Old Testament, notably in Psalm 37, verse 11. It talks about the meek inheriting the earth. When we think about inheriting a land or inheriting a place, it's very easy to think back to the person of Moses, and Moses being someone who leads the people of God into the promised land, the land that God promised, where everything would be where it should be. Everything would be right. And it speaks in the Bible that Moses was the meekest man on earth in his time. You can find that in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. It says that Moses was the meekest man of his generation, of his time. So if you want to understand what meekness is, I know some of you are going, when are you going to define the word meekness? We'll come on to that. If you want to understand what meekness is, we need to look at Moses, because he's a really good example, because he's the meekest man of his generation, of his time. And there's a story in Numbers chapter 14 about Moses' encounter with God. And basically, God's got fed up with the moaning of the people of Israel. He's got fed up with the fact that they don't want to go to the promised land. He's just got fed up with all of their bitterness and moaning. And he says to Moses, right, come up on the mountain, Moses. I want to have a chat with you. And God takes Moses up to the top of a mountain. And God says, right, Moses, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wipe out all these people. All the people I've saved out of Egypt, I'm going to wipe them out. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you and your descendants, twice as great as they were. Are you up for that, Moses? Do you want to be twice as great as the people that are the descendants of Abraham? Do you want to be twice as good? Do you want your fame to be greater? Do you want the people, your descendants, to be the people who God loves and cherishes and people who inherit the promised land? And Moses says, God, no. No, God. I don't want that to happen. He says, because what will it look like to the Egyptians if they see that you have brought us out of Egypt into the desert only to kill us, only to kill the people of God? He says, yes, they've been sinful. Yes, they've done bad things, God. But what will it look like? What will it do to your reputation, God? How will it look to the Egyptians, God, if you wipe out all these people? And God goes, okay, we'll do it a different way. So he actually lets them wander in the desert for 40 years till the whole generation die out, but their children inherit the land. You see, Moses is a model of meekness because he's more concerned with the reputation of God than his own reputation. That's what he's concerned about, God's reputation. He says, God, you've just offered me this great accolade of saying I'll be twice as great as everyone else. But I'm more concerned, God, with the reputation it will look like for you, of how everyone else will see you. Not just the Christians, not just the people who believe in you, God, but the people who don't believe in you. I'm more concerned with the reputation of you, God, in the life of the people who don't know you. That's my concern for you. That's my concern. And God loves that. And that's Moses in a moment of showing meekness. That word meekness can be kind of translated as humble or gentle. But the word meekness must not be confused with the word that goes very similarly to that, weakness. Because meekness sounds like weakness. And so you think, oh, and you've probably heard the lovely, you know, songs at Christmas, Jesus, meek and mild, and you think, oh, lovely, sort of a bit. But meekness is a strength of character that is not about being weak. It's about a humility of your heart. It's having a strength of character that is able to stand for what is right. Moses' meekness is the fact that he's more concerned with the reputation of God than for himself. As we think about this beatitude, saying, I'm going to empty myself, God. Recognize who I am, the poor in spirit, that I have nothing to offer you, God. I'm going to recognize my condition and my total need for Christ and the Holy Spirit in me. I say meekness is saying, I recognize that it's about God. Not about me. It's not about what I can do. It's about who God is, his name, his fame. See, the challenge to Moses was saying, I'm going to give you an opportunity for you to look good. And God often does this in our life. He gives an opportunity for us to look good, for us to be really amazing. And God will offer us this. Do you want this? I'll offer it to you. But often in that offer, he's testing our heart to say, actually, are you more concerned at the moment with your reputation and what you look like? Or are you more concerned with the reputation of God? Who are you more concerned about, you or God? It says in Galatians chapter 5, talks about the gifts of the, sorry, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And it says, don't give in to this sinful generation, for they don't inherit the kingdom of God. People who inherit the kingdom are the people who live and administer the Spirit of God in their life. And in the fruits of the Spirit, we don't hear the word meekness. But if you were to read the King James Version of the Scriptures, you would find the word meekness in the list of the fruits of the Spirit, where it says gentleness normally. We now translate it gentleness, but it would the same word for meekness. And the thing with it is in the Beatitudes we have the word meekness, and in modern translations they've kept it meek in the Beatitudes, mainly because it's traditional. But actually, if you go back to the King James Version of the Scripture, you'll see that the word meekness is used, every time the word humble is used in Scripture, the word meekness is used. This humble of heart. And in the fruits of the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, it's saying, people who are kingdom people exhibit this type of attitude. And one of them is meekness. It's saying that when the Spirit of God's in you, you have the ability to show meekness, or a gentleness, or a humility, which the world doesn't recognize. Because the Spirit of God in you. As we talked about last week, how the comfort that comes to us as people who are grieved in sin is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God who lives in you. The result of that is the ability to show an attitude of meekness. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God in you. With the Spirit of God in you, you have the ability to make choices for God. Are we going to be meek? Are we going to be people who are humble before God? See, because to be blessed of God, talking about Psalm 1, is to be rooted, sustained, and fruitful. And so when you empty yourself, confess your need for Christ, become full of the Holy Spirit, you become fruitful in the fruits of the Spirit. And therefore it's saying, people who are blessed, people who become fruitful, are people who have the Spirit of God in them, allowing them to be fruitful for God. If you want to be fruitful for the kingdom of heaven, live a life that is fruitful for God's kingdom and purposes, you have to have the Spirit of God in you to birth the fruit of God's kingdom in your life. And you can only have the Spirit of God in you when you recognize that you're not God, that you need God, that you are a sinner, that you need to confess your sins, you need to come to Christ, rely on his death and resurrection, and be full of the Spirit of God. This is kind of the emptying, and we're now starting to see the beginning of the filling. If we want to be people who take ground for God's kingdom in the world around us, we have to be prepared that the Spirit of God minister into our life. Hold the Spirit of God in us to minister the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. So what is meekness? I've been saying it's, give you some examples of it. The Greek there for meek, one way you can kind of maybe read it in the Greek, is this phrase, strength under control. Strength under control. Meekness is having a power or strength and knowing what to do with it. With great power comes great responsibility. That's what meekness is. It's a humility that allows you to recognize the power in you, the gifts that you might have, the things that you are, and know how to use it wisely. And know how to use it, ultimately, so that it builds the reputation and the fame of God, not you. That is a meek spirit. It's not about being weak. It's not about being, this is about saying, I recognize what God has done in my life. And if you think about this, if those who mourn are comforted and they become full of the Holy Spirit, just think about that for a moment. You have got the living power of God living in you, if you have confessed your faith in Christ. The living power of God in you. The power of God who spoke words of creation, who brought everything into being, that Spirit lives in you. That cliched phrase of the same power that conquered the grave, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you and it lives in me. You are full of the power of God. That's phenomenal. And so meekness is knowing the power that you've got inside of you and knowing how to use it wisely. It's the strength under control. See, the Corinthian church were really into the gifts of the Spirit. They were really into the Spirit of God in them and seeing miracles and power and prophecy and tongues take place. They were really into seeing all this amazing stuff that happens when the Spirit of God is empowered in our life. But Paul writes to them and says, whoa, guys, you're getting so caught up with the gifts of the Spirit, you're getting so caught up with all these things that brings like, he's like, let's just break down a second. He says, in worship, there needs to be order. There needs to be a meekness. You need to bring the power that you've got under control. Bring it into alignment with the grace of God. Bring it into alignment where it needs to be. Don't get carried away. It's brilliant that you're speaking in tongues. It's brilliant that you're prophesying. It's brilliant that you're seeing amazing miracles take place. He says, but let's just bring it down a notch and bring it under control. Bring a humility, a meekness of spirit. Don't think that you're good because you prophesy. Don't think you're good because you speak in tongues. Don't think you're good because you do all these amazing things. It's wonderful, but that's not what gives you credit in the kingdom of heaven. That's not what makes you good in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, in Matthew's gospel, he says, on the day of judgment, there'll be people who come to him and say, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did all these amazing things in your name. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Why? Because people can get so caught up with what the Spirit of God gives them and what they can do to build their reputation. There's no humility to it. There's no humility to it. And if we look at the charismatic movement, particularly in the last 20 years, you've seen the rise of these amazing characters and figures who have then fallen. Because actually it's about building themselves up, building up their ministry, paying for their big jumbo jets, or their nice new car. And actually, it's not about building the reputation of God, it's about building the reputation of their ministry. And Jesus will say, you did amazing things, but you never knew me. Because the people who take ground for the kingdom of heaven are not people who forcefully take it with force, but people who recognize their limitation, their need for God in their life, and the recognition that the power of God in them needs to have a meek spirit to allow it to manifest in something beautiful and wonderful and lovely. If you think about it like this, a wild horse has got a lot of power to it, but it's wild, it's untamed. When you tame a horse, it has the same power, but it comes under the direction of its master. And that's what meekness is in our life. Rather than being wild and crazy, meekness is saying, I'm going to tame myself under the direction of my master, of who God is. That's what I'm going to do. That is a meek spirit in you. And it allows the power of God to be used strategically for his glory and his kingdom. It's about taking down self so that God can be glorified. And the best example of this in Scripture is Jesus. Because what does Philippians say? Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love and being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility or meekness, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Christ Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. As I said before, the thing we need to understand about Jesus is that he is a perfect example of meekness, the strength under control, that he came to earth emptying himself of his divinity. He was still God, but he didn't use the fact that he was God to do amazing things on earth. He was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to do amazing things on earth. And what does Jesus say constantly throughout his ministry? I'm doing this for the glory of the Father. He's not trying to build his own reputation. Every time people come to him and try and make him king or try and make him something great, he says, no, this is about the glory of the Father. The meekness of Jesus is the fact that he's saying, this is not about building my reputation as God. It's about building the Father's reputation as God. What meekness, what humility. To say, Jesus could have done anything he did on earth because he was Jesus. But he did it with the power of the Holy Spirit in him. So that when we now come as people to Christ, we can go, I'm just like Jesus. I'm completely empty. I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can do the same things that Jesus did. And Jesus says, you'll do even greater things than this. The example of Jesus isn't something we can kind of go, oh, I can never do that because I'm not God. It's saying we can do exactly what Jesus did because he modeled the meek attitude that we need to have, that humility in us to say, wow, I have the power of God in me. Why? To build the reputation of the Father. It's all that I do, to build the reputation of God. Reputation of the Father. That's what Jesus spent his whole life and ministry doing. Not for his glory. You see, going back to the context of it being a Jewish context, and Matthew writing to the Jews particularly, there Jesus sitting on a mountainside to Jewish people saying, the people who inherit the land, people who inherit the earth, people who move forward, who take ground for God's kingdom, are people who are meek. Now to everyone else there, they're going, what? Because they are in a situation where they're trying to rebel against the Roman authorities. They are waiting for a Messiah who's going to come with force, who's a military might, and defeat the Romans, and take back Israel, and take back the land for God. And Jesus comes and says, how I'm going to come and claim land, how I'm going to come and take ground, is not by force, but is by meekness. Knowing the strength and the power that God has, and having it under control. In Mark's gospel particularly, Jesus, whenever he performs a miracle, he says to people, don't tell anyone. Shh. Keep it a secret. Don't tell anyone. Partly because he's not interested in it being about him. He just wants God to be glorified. He wants to set people free because that's in his heart, his nature. It's not about him having a big ego. But you see, by doing that, it spreads like wildfire. It's the YouTube viral video of the day. It was Jesus doing his amazing things and people going, have you heard about so-and-so? This guy Jesus healed him. Crowds flock. He didn't sort of stand up and go, right, I'm now going to have a big rally and I'm going to invite all these people to come and now you can come bask in my glory. He just went about his daily business and it took ground. It built momentum because he wasn't about trying to build his reputation. He was trying to build the reputation of the Father. And in church and in our workplace or our school or our college, we have an attitude that we can choose. Are we going to choose to try and make ourselves better and look good? Or are we going to live for the reputation of God in all that we do? To build his fame. Even when greatness is offered to us. Jesus is baptized and the Spirit of God descends upon him. And he's full of the Holy Spirit. The first thing that happens, he's sent into the desert and he's tempted by Satan 3 times. He says, Jesus, because you're God, not because the Spirit of God's in you, but because you're Jesus, because you're God, turn these rocks into bread. Prove to me that you are actually God. Then he says, Jesus, if you truly are God, throw yourself off this building just to prove to yourself and to prove to everyone else that you are God. Jesus, if you want to take ground, if you want to inherit the earth, Jesus, bow down to me and I'll give you everything. Jesus could have, in that moment, bowed down to Satan and inherited the earth. But that's not meekness. Meekness is recognizing, I am no one. I have no right. But I am living for the kingdom and the glory of the Father. And so Jesus, becoming in very nature a man, chooses the meek way, the way of the cross, the way of death, saying, I'll subvert the powers of this day, because Satan wants to take things by force, and God will take things through honour and integrity. So Christ dies on the cross for our sins to make a way for us to come to God. Really, meekness is being able to be basically being a fireplace for the fire. Fire is wild and crazy, and it can destroy if it gets out of hand. A fireplace contains it so it becomes useful and it becomes directed. Meekness, humility. Are we prepared to be humble in what we do? Humble with the gifts and the skills that we have, putting aside pride and say, actually, my need is to use what I have got, what God has done in me, to build the reputation of the Father. If you're in church and you're wanting greatness, you'll be brought low. If you want position in church just because you want position, you'll be brought low. The people who are right for the kingdom of God are the people who say, actually, I might be really gifted and skilled, but actually, it's for God's reputation to the side. It's for who God wants to be in this place. So I pray that we would recognize the power of God in us and know how to put the power of God into practice in meekness and humility, choosing for the reputation of the Father, not for our reputation. Because when we do that, we start taking ground. We start taking ground because the world will see there's something different about us, and that builds a reputation for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the Beatitudes, the teaching that you brought. Lord, say we need to be empty so we can be full. And that when we are full, we need to recognize how to use that fullness of the Spirit of God in us. Heavenly Father, help us when faced with that choice between greatness or the reputation of you, Lord, to choose your reputation over ours, so that, Lord, we can take ground for the kingdom of God. Amen.